Once again, welcome to Grace Presbyterian Church. It's good to see you guys here. Thank you for braving the crazy rains. I hope you didn't have to paddle in your kayak to get here. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Galatians 5. We're going through the fruits of the Spirit. And last week, we took a look at patience or long-suffering. And I talked to Rusty after a sermon. I said, hey, that was really good. And it was. It actually hit me really well. But I said, if you really wanted us to understand long-suffering, you probably should have preached for 3, 4, 5 hours. And he said, well, you know, you're going next week. So I'm going to be up here for a while. No, I'm just kidding. We're looking today at kindness. And before we dive into his word, though, let's go before him in prayer, okay? So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for your word, and just that you are a God who communicates, and that we don't have to wonder who you are, that you have told us so much about your nature and your character. And I just pray for this morning that your spirit would really be at work here today, that these would be your words and not mine, that you would be moving in the hearts of these people to gain a true understanding of what spirit-led kindness looks like, and just giving us all a hunger for your spirit and to see fruit in our lives, Lord. And we see in Scripture, Lord, that your kindness is what leads us to repentance. And so today, would we see that kindness in action, and would we just be coming to you open and eager to learn and to grow in you? We pray this in your name. Amen. So Galatians 5, 16 through 26, we've read it the last few weeks. You know, maybe by the end of this series you'll have it memorized, but you don't have to, just because we go through it every week. But I think it's just important to be reminded of it. So starting in verse 16 of chapter 5, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the thing you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Okay, so today, like I said, we're going to be focusing on kindness. And I spoke to a couple friends last week saying, you know, yeah, I'm preaching on kindness this week. And they kind of said, oh, well, that should be an easy one, kindness. But I'm not actually convinced. And here's why. I get where they're coming from. Kindness is essentially a universal virtue. It's something we all believe in. We all think kindness is great. You know, don't be mean. Be nice to people. Be kind. Some people might even say that the entire point of Christianity is just to be nice. Yeah, you go to church to learn how to be nice to people. You know, don't be mean. Don't be evil. Be nice. But, you know, Christianity, of course, is actually about much more than that. Other religions talk very highly of kindness as well. So, for instance, the Dalai Lama has said this: "My religion is simple. My religion is kindness." You undoubtedly know kind people who are not Christians. One of my coworkers, who's a total atheist, he can be kinder to me sometimes than I am to him. And it's not to say that I'm mean to him. He's just more thoughtful, and he's constantly asking, you know, how are you doing? How's your wife Morgan doing? How's your family back home doing? And he's just so good at being kind. So the problem with kindness, the reason I think it's a fairly difficult thing to preach on, is that, you know, we're all sort of capable of a certain level of kindness. You know, we all believe in its merit. We all believe that kindness is a good thing. But here's the challenge to me. In Galatians, we're talking about something much more significant. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, these are the works of God happening in our lives, so not of our own power. And this was the mistake I made for years of my life. I would read the fruit of the Spirit, and I would think, okay, so in order to be a good Christian, I need to be better at loving people. I need to have more joy. I need to have peace. And so I would try really hard and work to become better at these different things. But the problem with that is I wasn't actually producing fruit of the Spirit. I was actually producing fruit of the Evan. And unfortunately, fruit of the Evan, while it might be better if I compare it to some like really bad people in the world, it's nothing compared to the fruit of the Spirit. There's a couple of quotes that I think illustrate this well. One of them is from A.W. Tozer, and he's a pretty brilliant theologian who has a way of using words just incredibly well. And he says this: "We may as well face it. The whole level of spirituality among us is low. We have measured ourselves by ourselves until the incentive to seek higher plateaus and the things of the Spirit is all but gone. We have imitated the world, sought popular favor, manufactured delights to substitute for the joy of the Lord, and produced a cheap and synthetic power to substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit." I don't know if that sounds familiar to you. It does to me at times. I often substitute my own power, these eight-step processes, these cheap imitations of the power of the Holy Spirit. Francis Chan, who's a pastor in California, he comments on the Holy Spirit, or on the fruit of the spirits as well. He says, "Look over those traits right now and ask yourself if you possess each to a supernatural degree. Do you exhibit more kindness and faithfulness than the Mormons you know? Do you have more self-control than your Muslim friends? More peace than Buddhists? More joy than atheists? If God truly lives in you, shouldn't you expect to be different from everyone else?" So here's the deal. I don't want to be kind in my own power. I want to have God's Spirit working in me so that when people see my kindness, they say, "Wow, God has got to be working in Evan's life, because that is not normal." Especially for Evan. So here is the main point for today. This is the message. Christians should have a supernatural level of kindness. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. So before we keep going forward, I think it's helpful to just define kindness. It's fairly similar to goodness, but there are some subtle differences. Essentially, kindness is the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Kind people have a heart for others. They desire to benefit people. It's really the opposite of selfishness, pride, envy, and strife. There's a few of those in the works of the flesh that we read earlier in Galatians. So kindness is not rude or harsh. It's really gentle and soft in its disposition. So that's what kindness is. And I want to answer two questions today. First, what does that supernatural, Spirit-led type of kindness look like practically? Then secondly, how do we actually demonstrate that? So first, what does a spiritual, a supernatural level of kindness look like? In other words, how do we demonstrate kindness that is greater than the Dalai Lama's or, my atheist coworker? What does it look like? And first, I think we need to recognize something. We all have, by the grace of God, different gifts and talents. Some people will, by their nature and nurture, just naturally be more kind than other people. So just because your Mormon neighbor is more kind than you doesn't mean you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit. The real question is, are you producing more fruit than you were yesterday or last year or the year before that? Is there growth? And so a good example of this, Steve Brown is, he's probably my favorite preacher, other than Rusty, of course. And I'm not sure how old he is. He lives in Florida in the U.S. He's got to be at least in his 70s, and he preaches with this incredibly deep voice. And he sounds like Darth Vader, but without the heavy breathing. And one of the things I really love about him is how friendly and loving he really is. But he's kind of rough around the edges. And you can just get a sense talking to him. You can tell that if he didn't love Jesus, he would be like the crankiest, angriest old man you've ever met. And it still comes out every once in a while. I was actually taking a seminary course in Atlanta, and he was teaching at the same school. And he was getting some coffee from this machine, and you'd swipe your credit card and, dispense your latte or flat white or whatever it was you're getting. And he was right in front of me, and the machine wasn't working for him. And all of a sudden, he just turns around to me with this wild look in his eyes, and he says, this really ticks me off. They make these things just to confuse old guys like me. And, I was half expecting him to turn around and just take out the coffee machine. But instead, he just laughs and pulls out another credit card and swipes it. And he just has this incredible love for people and for God's church. And it's just amazing to see how he's such a good example of someone who's not necessarily naturally kind, but because of the work of the Spirit in his life over the years, it's just so present. And you just look at him and you say, yes, God is definitely at work in Steve. So the point is, are you producing more fruit now than you were before? We have a couple blueberry shrubs. I won't even quite call them plants yet. Last year they didn't, I think I got one blueberry off of it, just like one blueberry, literally. This year we maybe got a handful. Next year, I'm hoping, if I don't kill them, that it'll produce more. And then, and within a couple of years, we'll have just buckets full and we can make you all blueberry desserts or something. But that's what we should look like with the fruit of the Spirit. There should be growth. Now, to dive into what kindness looks like even more, I want to look at Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over there. And this passage doesn't talk explicitly about kindness, but it outlines what Christian living should look like, kind of the marks of a true Christian. And I think it's really helpful in understanding what Spirit-led kindness can look like. So we're going to read Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So there's five marks of Spirit-led kindness in this passage I want to highlight. The first one is that Spirit-led kindness has no strings attached. And this comes from verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I love that phrase, outdo one another in showing honor. I just think it's such a neat idea. And look, if you want to have this unusual level of kindness, it's really got to be without strings. I think that's one of the biggest signs of worldly kindness in my mind, that people are nice or kind to someone else because they want something in return. So you might be kind to your boss because you want a promotion or you don't want to lose your job. You are kind to your neighbor because you want to ask her if you can borrow her oven when you have family in town. Or you might be kind to your spouse because you're hoping for a bit of a magic moment later in the day. You might be kind because you want to be popular. So my friend Brian, he wasn't the most popular kid in school. But in year 11, he realized, you know, if I'm the nicest guy around, people will like me. And so he became the nicest kid in school. He was just really friendly to everyone, and it worked. He became quite popular because of his kindness. But Spirit-led kindness isn't about receiving something in return. We're called to be kind because we love each other with brotherly affection, because we want to show them more honor and kindness than they could show to us. So the first mark, Spirit-led kindness has no strings. The second, Spirit-led kindness makes itself available. This comes from verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Most people in the world, maybe not most, but a lot of people in the world will be kind if you ask them to. I'm this way. I'm guilty of this. You know, if you ask me to help you move or mow your lawn or help clean your house, I will probably say yes. But I rarely offer to just do those things out of my own good spirit and initiative. I don't seek opportunities to show hospitality. So if you want to have the kind of kindness that takes people off guard, that points people to Christ, then not only should your kindness have no strings attached, but you need to seek opportunities to show that kindness. Make yourself available to people and serve them with a gentle and generous heart. Number three, the third mark of Spirit-led kindness, is that it's shown towards our enemies. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. You skip down to verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So this is a big one to me. This is a big differentiator. Very few people in the world will show their enemies kindness. We might tolerate them, but show them kindness? You know, show them honor? Feed them? Give them something to drink and live peaceably with them? That's asking a bit much. Yeah, but my first thought on reading this is, you know, well, I don't really have enemies. There's no one that I know of who's out trying to kill me or something. You know, but we do actually all have people we disagree with. I see this in particular on the internet, and you guys may not spend a lot of time there, and that's fine if you don't, but if you spent much time reading blogs or social media, when someone talks about religion or science or any of these topics, it can turn into all-out war with name-calling and insulting and arrogance, and it comes from both sides. There's atheists mocking Christians because they're so stupid and believing in fairy tales, and Christians who are, oh, you're so ignorant and blah, 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 and you just go back and forth. And this doesn't just happen on the internet, you know? It happens in real life. For a long time, I had a real smugness about being a Christian. Like, I was better than people because I knew the truth, and I kind of treated them like I was smarter than them, and it just really turned people away. And God had to work in me to change that, because kindness does not leave room for pride. Can you show kindness and speak gently to people who are completely wrong about their beliefs? Can you show kindness and live peaceably with someone who's living a lifestyle you don't agree with? So what would it look like for the Christian community if we showed Spirit-led kindness to prostitutes or to homosexuals or to thieves or to freeloaders or to swindlers? This list could go on and on. And we have to remember that evil cannot overcome evil. As this passage says, overcome evil with good. And look, this won't be easy. It a lot of times will really be impossible in our own power, but that's precisely the point. We want to have kindness that wouldn't be possible unless God's Spirit was working in our lives. So the fourth mark of Spirit-led kindness I want to look at today is this. Spirit-led kindness is shown towards the unlovable. This comes from verse 16. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And this, in a way, I suppose, could be attached to show kindness without strings. But here again, we find kindness that comes through the Spirit's power. There are people in the world where if you show them kindness, not only will you not gain anything, you might actually lose something. So for you students in the room, who are the kids or the people at school that no one shows kindness to? We're called to humble ourselves and show them kindness. You might be made fun of, you might be ridiculed, but your kindness can change lives, literally can change lives. If you work, who are the people that no one likes? Maybe they're lazy or they're selfish or they're gossips. Whatever it may be that makes them unlovable, how can you show them kindness? What about your neighbors or other parents at school? Do they constantly bother you and annoy you and ask favors? And are they unlovable? How can you show them kindness? Again, it's through that Spirit working in us to show the unlovable people kindness that sets us apart. So the number five way is this. Spirit-led kindness is shown towards those closest to us. I'm going to read verse 10 again. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Sometimes it's hardest to show kindness to the people we're closest to, I think. You've lived with your spouse for 10 or 20 years, and somewhere along the line it became difficult to show this person who stinks up the bathroom and leaves their clothes on the floor and steals covers and stains their shirts and doesn't tell you about it, kindness. But despite their faults, we're still called to show them kindness, no matter what. So not only are we supposed to love our enemies and the unlovable, but those closest to us, our neighbors. One of the best ways to love your neighbors, show them kindness. And as we show kindness to people, whether they're closest to us or their enemies, something kind of amazing happens. And C.S. Lewis describes it this way. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them. So not only does God use kindness to change the lives of those around us, those who are receiving kindness, he also changes us through kindness. And what's interesting is more often than not, God doesn't use fire falling from the sky type miracles to change the course of history. A lot of times it's just these simple acts of kindness shown by his people. So for instance, Joshua in the Bible, he showed unusual kindness to Rahab. Boaz showed unusual kindness to Ruth. And Jonathan showed unusual kindness to David. Do you know what Rahab, Ruth, and David all have in common, these people who received kindness? Every single one of them is an ancestor of Jesus. Through their line came Christ. And if one of them didn't receive that kindness, that line could have been completely thrown off. And so it's amazing to see the effect that kindness can have on you, the person showing kindness, on the people you're showing kindness to, and even on history. When the Spirit is at work, amazing things can and will happen. So the big question for us then, is how do we think and live this? How do we show Spirit-led kindness as opposed to just, you know, gritting our teeth and grabbing our knuckles and being like, I'm going to be kind no matter what today? If I've been successful, hopefully I've put Spirit-led kindness on this kind of pedestal where we realize, yeah, I mean, I might be able to be nice every once in a while, but I don't know if I can always be kind to my enemies and these unlovable people and without strings. And if you want, we really want this kindness that shows the Spirit is at work in our lives. So there's really only one way to attain that. And it is back into Galatians chapter 5. It's to walk and live by the Spirit. And that's really it. That is the key. If you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life, then you need to do one thing. Spend time with the Spirit. Walk and live by him. I know that can sound sometimes hard, especially if you're if you like your checklists and everything. Shouldn't there, you know, be a 10-step plan for producing more fruit? or, you know, a three-week course I take that, you know, by the end I have a certificate for producing more fruit. Shouldn't we work hard to follow a bunch of rules? What about, you know, this sounds like a lot of freedom. What if that freedom leads me to sin? But Paul was very clear in Galatians 5. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And he also says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So there's not this long list of things we must do and must not do. In fact, there's really one thing. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is at the home of Mary and Martha. And this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Martha is busy cleaning and cooking and serving, you know, doing all the things you would expect a good and kind person to do. And Mary, on the other hand, is sitting right at the feet of Jesus and listening to his teaching. And like most of us would do, Martha kind of snaps and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. That's, if you want to look at that later, it's Luke 10, verses 40 through 42. We don't need to be worried and we don't need to be anxious about earning Jesus' approval by following all the rules. One thing is necessary. And while it might sound simple, make no mistake, just because there's only one thing does not make it easy. Keeping in step with the Spirit is a challenge and one we have to face every day. So we've established something. If you want supernatural fruit in your lives, then we must walk and live by the Spirit. Again, it's great, you know, but how do we do it? It's not like the Spirit's outside or somewhere walking to the beat of a marching drum and we can just hop in and walk by his same pace. What does that look like? Unfortunately, Scripture outlines several different ways that we can do this. And we call these the means of grace. It's the way that God gives his grace to people and enables fruit in our lives. Multiple sermons could be preached on each of these. I'm obviously not going to do that now, but I want to hit on a few of the key ones as they relate to kindness. Essentially, though, it's a relationship of God, and that means it's just like any other relationship. So you want to talk with God. You want to listen to him. You want to spend time with his friends, and you don't spend time with him. You don't talk with him in order to gain his favor. Just like it would be silly for me to, you know, say each day, okay, I'm going to speak with Morgan, my wife, for 15 minutes today just to make sure she still loves me. And I'm going to listen to her for at least 12 minutes. And that way she'll know that, you know, I still love her and, you know, I can check the lesson. That's not why you do these things in a relationship. You talk to God and you listen to him and you spend time with him because you desire a relationship. And that's what we have to remember. So again, these aren't little checklists. It's just having a relationship. Practically, there's a few ways to do that. The first is spending time in the Word, in Scripture. And this is really what Mary was doing. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. And we need to do the same thing. So that could be spending time in the Word by yourself, studying it on your own. It could also be studying in a small group, like a growth group here at church, or a Bible study, or a discipleship group. It could also be listening to biblical preaching. We need to be submitting to the Word of God. It is where we see him, where he communicates most clearly to us, and where we can see his kindness. This is, the gospel is in this, all throughout this book. And when we see what Christ did on the cross, we see the greatest example of kindness there's ever been. There were no strings attached. There was no, he wasn't doing this for himself. I mean, he came and he died so that we could have life. He presented himself. He offered himself to the very people who were mocking him and crucifying him and putting him on the tree. Just like we sang earlier, he came to save those who cursed him. And that's just incredible. Romans 2:4 says, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. So the more we see his kindness, the more we're going to pursue after him, and the more his kindness will actually start to rub off on us. A second way is prayer. Thanks to the work of Christ, We have access to the throne of God. We can talk to him directly. And as we pray, he changes us. Tim Keller, he puts it this way. True prayer seeks to mold our will to God's, not God's will to ours. Just like every other relationship requires communication, so too does our relationship with God. Go before him and pray. You know, you don't have to have the perfect words or perfect speech. Sometimes you don't even need words. It's just spending time in his presence allow yourself to rest in him, see his kindness, and allow him to work in you. A third way is church community. The reality is we need other people in our lives to encourage us in our faith, to push us towards the Lord, to help us walk in the Spirit. We can't do it alone. We need community. And keep in mind that community doesn't mean just showing up on Sunday. Are you getting involved with the people in the church? Are you involved in a growth group or a Bible study? Are you investing in people's lives, hearing what's going on in their lives and sharing what's going on in yours? When we live in isolation from the body of believers, one of the dangers is that we forget the needs of those around us. It becomes a lot harder to show kindness to people and to seek opportunities to show kindness when we don't know what other people need and we don't know what's going on in their lives. And we just kind of forget and we think, oh, well, they're fine and I'll just take care of myself. And so that's why it's so important to be in community. Not only does it push us towards God, but it reminds us, it shows us the kindness that people need. There are other ways of receiving God's grace, of course. The sacraments like baptism and communion, worship, singing to the Lord, that brings us closer to him. Really, anything that can draw us closer to God is important. The more time we spend with him, as we walk and we live by the Spirit, he will start producing fruit in us. So instead of working hard to be kind, work hard to live in a relationship with God. As you focus your energy on him, he will work in you to produce fruit. So I'm going to finish with this quote again by Francis Chan. I read him earlier, but I think it summarizes really well what we've been talking about today. He says this, "I don't know about you, but I cannot simply muster up more love. I cannot manufacture patience just by gritting my teeth in determining to be more patient. We are not strong or good enough, and it doesn't work that way. None of us can do goodness on our own, much less all the other elements that make up the fruit of the Spirit. But despite our inability to change ourselves in this way, to simply become more peaceful or joyful, we expend a great deal of effort trying. We focus on what God wants us to do and forget the kind of people he wants us to be. Instead of mustering up more willpower, let's focus our energies and time on asking for help from the one who has the power to change us. Let's take the time to ask God to put the fruit of his Spirit into our lives, and let's spend time with the one we want to be more like." So if you want to show kindness without strings, and kindness that makes itself available to others, if you want to show kindness to your enemies or to the unlovable or even to your neighbor, I have some bad news. You really cannot do it on your own. But there is hope in the work and the grace of Christ. His kindness has called us to redemption, to repentance. And as we run to him, as we seek out his Spirit and walk alongside him, as we confess our own sin, our inadequacies and ask God to change us, to produce fruit in our lives, and as we draw near to him, watch and just see the fruit that he starts to produce over time. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and we've got one more song. So Lord, we thank you once again for your word, and I just really pray that you would be producing fruit in our lives. God, I confess that I need you and can't do this on my own, that your standards are too high. And Lord, really, I want to see kindness in my life that just catches people off guard and that really makes them question what's really going on, that points them to you and your Spirit. Would you just be at work in the lives of everyone? And Would we understand what it means to walk and live by your Spirit? Would we seek out that relationship with you and just an honest desire to grow closer to you and to love you more? And we love you, Lord, and just pray all these things in your name. Amen.